started coming around, we didn't know the first thing about the ministry, nothing at all. And Sister Savage would give me little bits of advice. And, you know, I would try to adhere to what she would tell me, because I knew if the Lord was going to use us, I was going to have to, you know, line up, so to speak. And we hadn't been at Brother Benny's a whole lot, you know, a long time when we first started coming. So I was rough around the edges. So I'm just so very thankful for her and for Brother Savage and what they've meant to us over the years. You know, he's an amazing man, an amazing minister. He's just wonderful man of God. And I'm so thankful for him. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. You're special people, and I just appreciate you very much.
Praise God. You can be going in your Bibles to Luke, book of Luke tonight, chapter number 6 and verse number 6. Sister Charlotte, right? Likewise, I've heard of Brother Dickie Webb since I started coming in this area. Had never got to meet him. Had never got to meet him. And he started playing the piano tonight. And my wife said, "He's fabulous." And when you started to sing, she said, "I don't want to sing tonight." So we're glad to finally meet up after 30 years. Tracy, how are you? Wow. Sister Horton, it's good to see you. Wow. I'll be crying, Brother Marty. I ain't careful. I'll be crying. If I ain't real careful, I'll be crying here in a minute. Luke chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible said, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, 'Rise up and stand forth in the midst.' And he arose and stood forth. And then said Jesus unto them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?' And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, 'Stretch forth thine hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other." And his hand was restored whole as the other. Could you stretch your hands towards heaven? Ask the Lord to anoint me just for a few moments tonight. Father, would you visit us? Lord, would you come close? I have felt your presence in this service. I know that you're amongst your people. And I'm asking you right now to move upon hearts and lives in this place. Touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Praise God. If the Lord would help me for just a few moments tonight, I'd like to preach just a simple thought on restoring hands and restoring hearts. Restoring hands and restoring hearts. A lot of men in the Bible, we identify by their name. We really do. If I was to say the Apostle Paul, we would all know who I was speaking of. If I were to say Lazarus, two names would come to your mind. two different events. The one that Jesus raised from the dead, and the one that laid by the rich man's gate, begging. Immediately, those two names. You would identify that one name with two different events. If I was to say Mary Magdalene, you would say, well, she's the one that Jesus cast seven devils out of. But if I was to say not a name, but an event, and I was to say just a phrase, indescriptive phrase, by saying the woman at the well, you would know who I was talking about, wouldn't you? You would know exactly. If I was to say the event of the young man that Jesus raised up and presented back to us, you would understand the event. That's the case in this particular text. We've got a man, and the only thing he is identified by is his problem. All right? That's the only thing he is identified by is what's wrong with him. He's not identified by, oh, that's Brother Joe's boy. He's not identified that way. He's not identified of that so-and-so's husband. He's not identified that way. He's simply identified by what's wrong with him. One good thing about him, he came to church. Because on the Sabbath day, he was in the house of God where he needed to be. I want to preach to you here just a little bit, but I need to lay this foundation. Yeah, he must have some good upbringing, because he knew what to do when the doors of the house of God was open. He is going to be there, problem or not. He was going to be there. He's going to be there. Now, I can identify a lot of you. I can say, well, right over there is Sister Marcia. Right over there is Sister Margaret. I can identify that. I know I can. I can say, right back there is Brother Sapp. I know. I cannot, but this man, the Bible doesn't take time to identify him. So he was just a person sitting in the pews with a problem. I want to talk to you just a little while tonight about people that sits in pews that has problems. Somebody that just walks in, by looking at him, you could tell he had something wrong with him. It was easily identified. He had a withered right hand, Luke tells us. A withered right hand. And so when he walked in the door, now when we walk in the door, we shake hands, don't we? We shake hands, and we, you know, sometimes people grab your arm as you come through the door, like happened to me tonight. And you know, so sometimes people try to scare you, do you know, pinch you, things like that. Like I've got bun, you know, you understand what I'm saying. But most of us just meet at the back door, Sister Savage, and we shake hands. But it was not very hard to notice that when this man came in the back door, he did not shake hands the way that everybody else did. There was something about him that made you know this man has a need. This man has a problem. I wish all problems were that easily identified. I wish that everybody come into this church, and when you're suffering, you'd have a little tag on your lapel that said, hey, preacher, look at me. I got a problem going on tonight. I've got something taking place in my heart that I need help with.
But most of the time, when folks come into the house of God, it's not because they have a withered hand, but sometimes it's because they've got deep, settled problems down in their heart that nobody knows about, and they try to conceal because they do not want to let everybody know, I've got something going on in my life. There's something took place in my life that's just not like it needs to be. Maybe tonight there was folks that walked into this store, amen, that's been battling maybe some depression and some thoughts of anxiety and troubles that overwhelming them, and they walked in the door, and before they ever walked in, they put on their smiling face because they don't want nobody to know that they've got a problem of that magnitude. They don't want nobody to know that that's what's going on in their life. So they smile through the service. They sing "How Great Thou Art." They stand up and they sing "Come and Dine." And nobody knows the difference because nobody sees their withered hand. Nobody sees their heartache. Nobody sees their problem. Nobody sees their trouble they're going through.
Sometimes people that come in, and I need to preach tonight if the Lord would help me. Sometimes they're spiritually wounded. They've been hurt. They've went through problems. They've received the tongue lashing of their life. They look, come into the house of God, and spiritually they feel like everybody's looking at them and everybody knows what's going on. So they sit there with a spiritually hurt heart. I need to preach to you just a little while.
Somebody said something stupid.
I ain't supposed to say that word. Yeah. Ralph Cox told us better that long ago. He did. Remember that? He'd tell us. But some people are. I can't help it. They just say things that never should have passed between them lips. And it cuts like a knife. And it destroys lives. And words sometimes are harder to get over than actual physical wounds, because those words build up in your heart and those words echo in the chambers of your mind, and you hear it over and over and over and over again until finally you begin to get hurt and you begin to think nobody has confidence in you. And you begin to think everybody's looking at you. And nobody wants to hear you anymore. Nobody wants to hear anything you've got to say. Matter of fact, when you sing, you think they don't even want to hear you sing anymore. And the devil jumps on your shoulder. And he says to you, did you see how she looked at you? Did you see how he looked at you? And right away, that spiritual wound begins to fester up. And then there's those that come into this building tonight that's emotionally wounded. They've been hurt a lot deeper than just words. They've had events take place in their life that have scarred them. And no Band-Aid and no little bit of ointment is going to take away the wound that you suffered. I need to preach to you just a little while. So you come in and the preacher gets up and he says, you don't have no troubles. All you need is faith in God.
Well, guess what? I do have troubles.
And I do have problems. And I do hurt.
And sometimes we even cry. Help me, Holy Ghost, just a little while. We're overwhelmed. And in my mind, I got a vivid imagination. To me, this man's married, okay? Maybe because I'm so happily married, you know. You understand. Yeah, she lets me out every now and then. Amen. But in my mind, he's married to this beautiful little woman. And they've got a little boy. And in the commentaries I read, and commentaries are somebody else's comments on what they think the scripture means. That's all it is. That's all it is. Okay? In the commentaries I read by men that's more intelligent than me, which doesn't take a lot, they said that this man was probably a bricklayer. Now, Luke is very thorough in his writing. He's very thorough in his writing. He did not say that this man had a withered hand from birth. He does not say that. And it would be hard to have an occupation as a bricklayer. Would it not? Wouldn't it be hard to have an occupation as a bricklayer with one hand? That would be a difficult thing to do. Would be a very difficult thing to do. So what it tells me that probably this injury happened during the course of life. You wasn't born with it, but you got hurt. I won't preach long. I won't talk to you about being hurt. My mind, Brother Kelly, is simply this. He was working on a wall, and a block fell and crushed his hand and severed the nerve, and it withered. That's my theory. It's as good as anybody else's. It withered. So it had been damaged. It had been hurt. It didn't happen. You weren't born this way. But something happened that's tore your heart out of you. And something's happened that you can't get past. And something's happened that you cannot get over. And that's a sad shape to be in. But day after day and year after year and service after service, I have met them and they've talked to me and they've said, Brother Alexander, I had this happen to me and I went through this and I would watch their expression change and their face would begin to look torn and hurt and I would realize that person has suffered an injury that they can do nothing about. And now he sits there by his little wife and he looks over at his little boy and he says in his own mind, I can never be what I once was. I'll never be the bricklayer that I once was. I'll never play ball with my boy again. I'll never teach him how to cast the old fishing reel. I've got a withered hand. Don't you understand? I've got a problem that I can't get over. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's a problem that we can't get over. But then enters Jesus. Now they're there to catch him. They're there to accuse him. He's not there for either of those reasons. He's there because there's a man with a problem sitting in the pew that he needs to take care of. I said, the others are saying, let's catch him up in something. Let's see if he'll heal on the Sabbath. But that's not why Jesus is there. Jesus is there because there's a man sitting back there by his little wife. And she's hurting and he's hurting. And she looks up at him and she admires his look still. She admires his strong shoulders. She admires the effort that he puts forth every day to go out and be a one-armed bricklayer, trying to provide for his family. His little boy looks down the pew at him and he sees Daddy, and Daddy's hurting. And the little boy's hurting because Daddy and Mama's hurting. And the hurt is stretched all the way across the pew, Dale. All the way across the pew. What a tragedy. And then Jesus comes in. And I'll talk to you about three things and I'll be done. First of all, I believe when he came in, he looked at him. And he had compassion. I want to tell you, I felt this coming on me today. I felt this coming on me. And I thought there's going to be somebody here tonight that needs to know the Lord's concerned and has compassion on them. There's going to be somebody sitting in those pews that needs to understand that He knows where you're at. And He knows where the problem lies. Sometimes we can't tell them. You ever go to the doctor and they ask you where do you hurt? And they say, all over. I hurt all over. Well, that's how you are spiritually. You're hurt all over. And you want to be healed. And Jesus comes in and He looks at that man. And I believe with all of my heart He has compassion upon that man. And He loves him. And He says within Himself, I'm going to do something about this situation. And they knew He could not resist helping somebody. Those scribes and Pharisees knew He could not resist when there was somebody there that needed help. And I want you to know it's the same thing tonight. When the Lord's presence comes amongst us, He cannot resist helping those that have problems that's sitting in these pews. I want you to know right here tonight that the Lord is here to heal your broken heart. The Lord is here to mend your heartache. The Lord is here to combat trauma mind. Compassion. He's got compassion upon him. But then, even with compassion, he has to make connection with him. He has to make connection with him. So he looks at that man who's sitting there, my opinion, brother, can I call you Brother Dickie Webb? Brother Dickie Webb. He's sitting there, he's got his hand hid, because as long as it's hid, nobody, he don't look no different than nobody else. And now the Lord looks at him, and He loves him, and He tells him to stand up in front of everybody. Lord, have you forgot? You're wanting me to stand up? When I stand up, everybody's going to see this withered hand. When I stand up, everybody's going to identify the problem. But the Lord needed to make connection with that man. So He looks at that man and He says to him, stand up! And the man rises up. Now His hand is withered. It's not just hurt. It's not broke. I want you to, that's not what's wrong. The nerves are severed in His hand, and His hand is withered. There's no muscle tone. There's no movement possible. There's nothing that can be done for that hand, or the doctors would have took care of it. This man is going to be this way for the rest of his life. And the Lord tells him to stand up in the midst of the crowd. And I want you to know sometimes the Lord will come into a service and He'll open it up to the preacher and He'll open it up to the pastor and He shows them your withered hand and He shows them your withered heart and He shows them the heartache and the trouble and the trial you're going through. God's not singling you out to embarrass you. God singles us out to embrace us.
So he stands up in the midst of the crowd with everybody looking at him. And then the Lord tells him to do something that's impossible for him to do. He's got a withered hand that his fingers does not function. The Bible makes no mention of this man's faith. But this man's faith is evident. Because when Jesus said, "Stretch forth your hand," he pulled it from out from underneath his robe to the best of his ability. And as he began to reach towards Jesus, the muscles began to work again. And as he stretched it out, the Bible says it was not just healed, but it was restored whole as the other. That's what the Lord's dealing with me about right here tonight. It's not the fact he wants to heal you. It's the fact he wants to make you as good as you ever were. As good as you've ever been. Just like you were before. Heads bowed, please.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, no. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. He's not here just to heal. He's here to restore. He's here to bring back. He's here to cause things that hasn't been used to be used again. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh. I'm asking you right now to come close, because our hand is withered. Come close, because our heart is hurting. We feel helpless about the situation. Father, I'm asking you right now, restore completely in this service tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Know that I have come among thee. Know that I have come for thee. I might show thy my mercy to thee. Thou mightest know my strength and my power. For I, the Lord, will not fail thee. Did I not tell thee I would come to thee? Have I not promised thee that I would be there? Did I not speak to thee and say to thee, if you would come to me and turn it to me, that I would be thy strength and thy help? Yea, I, the Lord, do not lie. I have come to perform that which I said I would. I will heal that which is hurting, saith the Lord. If I could get someone, please. Someone. Anyone to the music, please, Mark, please.
The Lord's here to help you tonight. Not to hurt you. Not to destroy you. But to lift you up. I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you, so I'm not going to ask for any raising of hands. I'm just simply going to ask all the congregation to stand all over this building. He's passing by, the song says, this moment. Every need he will supply. Just reach out. Sound familiar? Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. So I'm going to ask you, in your own ways, at your own timing, whenever you feel like he's asking you to stretch out your hand, I'm asking you to step out of the pew. Come down to this altar and let the Lord restore that which needs to be restored. Would you come, please? If the Lord spoke to you, would you come right now? Feel free to come in the name of Jesus. I'm getting ready to have the church come in as a whole, and maybe that'd be the best way to do it right now so you won't feel singled out. I'm simply going to ask you if you need the Lord to help you. Everybody that will, begin to come, please. Everybody that will, begin to come.